Hey there, my name's Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. Now, Qualcomm is holding its annual Snapdragon Tech Summit, and there are some big announcements coming out, and today's big announcement is about the new Snapdragon flagship processor that we'll find in premium phones in 2022. And what's really interesting is there's a whole new naming scheme now. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So if you've been following the history of Snapdragon processors, you know that they are divided into different tiers, the 800 series, the 700 series, the 600 series, the 400 series, where the 800 series is the kind of the premium flagship end, and then you kind of got premium mainstream, mid-range, and then kind of low range. And there are a whole bunch of different processors available inside those different tiers. And each year around about this time, we get a new Snapdragon 800 series processor. So you know, we've had the Snapdragon 845, the 855, the 865, then we had the 888. And then I suppose this year we were expecting the 898 or the 890, something like that. But in fact, Snapdragon have gone with a new naming scheme where now we don't have the 800 series, we have the 8 series. We don't have the 700 series, we have the 7 series, and so on. And the new processor they have announced is the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. So Generation 1, first version of the Series 8. Now, it'll be interesting to see how Qualcomm handle the naming of the other processors in the 7 series and the 6 series, because they're not always obviously Gen 1 or Gen 2. So it'll be interesting to see what they come out. I suspect we're going to see some plus signs and some X's and things like that that will appear in the naming to kind of differentiate between different processors in the range. But today we're going to be talking about the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. So to start with the basics, this is a system on a chip. So you've got CPU, GPU, AI, image processing, 5G modem, all on one chip. And it's built on a 4-nanometer process from Samsung. Now, when we look at the CPU, what have we got is we've got an octa-core setup. We've got one Cortex X2 from ARM clocked at 3 GHz. We've got three Cortex A710s clocked at 2.5 GHz. Then we've got four power efficiency cores clocked at 1.8 GHz. That's the Cortex A510. Now, all of those are ARM V9. So this is Qualcomm moving over to ARM V9, as we'd expect, because that is what ARM has done in its latest generation of chips. And if you want to find out more about the X2, the A710, the A510, then please do check out the other videos that I have here on this channel that I released when they were initially announced. And so we have that 1+3+4 setup here. As we would expected, you've got the Cortex X2, that's the ultra performance core that you've got at the high end, just one of them clocked at the highest clock frequency. Then backing up, you've got three high performance cores, that's the Cortex A710s clocked at 2.5 gigahertz. And then for the power efficiency stuff, when the phone's not doing very much, then you can switch over to those power efficiency cores, this is the Cortex A510s clocked at 1.8 gigahertz. So 1+3+4, no surprises there. And so Qualcomm are saying that the new Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 will be 20% faster in terms of CPU compared to the Snapdragon 888, and it will be 30% more power efficient. Now, it'll be interesting to see what the actual benchmarks are when they come out, the difference between single-threaded, multi-threaded, and so on, also with the power efficiency, the battery life, but we'll see that when we actually have devices coming out in the first part of next year. Now, one interesting side effect of the new naming is that Qualcomm are no longer supplying numbers about the Cryo CPU and the Adreno GPU. So before, we might have had, you know, the Cryo 490 or something, or the Adreno 650, and we kind of could kind of work out what the different CPU and GPU configurations were relative to their numbering. So a chip lower down in the series would have a lower number, the Adreno 618, for example, and we could kind of see the relative performance. Now, they're no longer supplying that. It's just the Cryo CPU that you get in the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. It's just the Adreno GPU that you get in the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. Now, I guess they're doing that because that's the kind of thing that Apple do. Apple don't give their CPUs particularly any fancy names, or their GPUs any particular fancy names. However, Apple don't make that many processors. You basically get the processor that you got in the iPhone, and then you've got the processor that you get in the Macs, And so it's the M1, the M1 Pro, the M1 Max. And all they do is that when there's a difference there, they tell you there's a difference in the GPU cores. So they are giving us this kind of relative thing. You know, there are this many GPU cores compared to this many GPU cores. And at the moment, Qualcomm aren't giving us that kind of information. So it'll be interesting to see when there are variations coming out, when there are ones in the different tiers, when the next gen comes out, are we going to be able to differentiate between them based on this kind of more detailed information? At the moment, we're not. Now, talking of the GPU, Qualcomm say this is a re-architected Qualcomm Adreno GPU. That's kind of code words for it's the next generation. They've done some plumbing on the inside. They've tried to make it better. So that's what we're expecting, a new GPU. And it includes a 30% graphics boost while being 25% better energy efficient. So that's there's some good numbers there. 30% better graphics, 25% less power used. And there's lots and lots of features available inside of these GPUs built on what they already have in the other series of the Adreno GPUs. For example, you get hardware accelerated H.265 and V9 decoding. And then there's a whole bunch of extra features they also have, which is the Snapdragon Elite Gaming, which brings a whole way of doing extra things to really bring out that extra stuff. For example, like volumatic rendering or variable rate shading, that kind of stuff that you can get inside of the GPU. That's the kind of things that the game programmers really want to understand. And there's now also the Adreno control panel, which is something you can kind of play around with on Android to kind of set some of the features of the GPU while you're playing games. Moving on from the GPU, Qualcomm are really keen to underline they've made some huge changes to the ISP, to the image signal processor. That's the thing that connects to the camera. Collectively now it's all called Snapdragon Sight. So what have you got? An 18-bit image signal processor. That's up from 14-bit that you had in the Snapdragon 888. So those extra bits allow you to have an extra 4 stops of dynamic range. And you've also got 3.2 gigapixels per second that this thing can process. That's a huge amount of bandwidth. And then you've got an 18-bit RAW export feature, so you can actually take photos and export them in that 18-bit RAW format. Other things worth mentioning on the way is you've got 240 frames per second for 12 megapixel pictures. So that's really, really high frame rates there. You've got the ability to shoot 8K in HDR at 30 frames a second. And while you're recording 8K in HDR, you can actually even take a 64 megapixel picture simultaneously. And you've got a dedicated bokeh engine now for 4K video capture. So 4K video capture, and there's hardware to actually do the bokeh in the background or replace the background, whatever it is you want to do. And they've also used some of their AI technology inside of the camera. So for example, there's AI-based facial recognition with over 300 facial landmarks. And you've also got things like auto exposure, autofocus, and as I said, auto face detection, all powered by various neural nets. And then talking of AI, Qualcomm have doubled the tensor accelerator. Tensor is just a fancy word for talking about how you kind of do the matrix multiplications. A bit more complicated than that, but it's basically the matrix complications that go on inside of neural nets. And it's 1.7 times more power efficient. Now, Qualcomm therefore say that if you take in the new hardware improvements and you take aboard some of their new software improvements, you can actually get a 4 times greater AI performance under certain circumstances using the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. And overall, they say this is now called the 7th generation AI engine. And for those that do deal with some of the more technical stuff, the SDK now supports 8-bit integers and 16-bit integers in a mixed precision environment. A few more miscellaneous things to mention. There's support for Wi-Fi 6 and Wi-Fi 6E, which means it will support 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, and 6 gigahertz with channel widths up to 160 megahertz. And if you want to understand what all that lot means, if you don't know, then I do have several videos here on this channel about Wi-Fi and all those different terminology. Check out my Wi-Fi playlist. There's also support for Bluetooth low energy audio, so Bluetooth LE audio, including the ability to do audio broadcasting and recording in stereo, as well as back channel for voices, which is useful for gaming when you're using a Bluetooth low audio equipment. Quick charge 5, support for LPDDR5 RAM up to 3.2 gigahertz, and there is also support for up to 16 gigabytes of RAM on board, and USB 3.1 with a USB Type-C connector. So in closing, what else can we say? We've got the latest gen of 5G modem up to 10 gigabits per second. You've got uplink carrier aggregation. Of course, you've got millimeter wave and sub 6 standalone. You've got this boost in the CPU and GPU we mentioned. 4-nanometer process from Samsung. Snapdragon sound, including Bluetooth LE audio. You've got this boost in the Adreno. They're saying that you get a 60% performance increase when you're using the Vulkan API compared to previous generations. And then, of course, the big changes here with the camera. 18-bit ISP, 3.2 gigapixels per second, and 8K HDR video recording. And when you sum that all up together, we call that now the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1. So there you have it. That is the Qualcomm's offering for the flagship devices that we're going to be seeing in 2022. I really like to hear in the comments below what you think about this, and what do you think about its rivals that are available from, let's say, MediaTek. What are you expecting from Samsung with the Exynos? And do you think this can even compete with the Apple's offerings? Tell me down in the comments below. My name is Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. If you did enjoy this video, please do give it a thumbs up. Also, if you like these kind of videos, why not stick around by subscribing to the channel? Also, don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Gary Explains, and I also have a newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address. You won't get any spam, but you will get the newsletter. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.